Sorry, Sue. All right, working through Matthew chapter 12. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath." He answered and said, "Haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests. Or have you not read in the law that the priest on Sabbath duty in the temple desecrate the Sabbath and yet are innocent? I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. And have you had known these words mean, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you would have not condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." Going on from that place, he went into their synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Looking for a reason to bring charges against Jesus, they asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" He said to them, "If any of you had a sheep and it falls into the pit on the Sabbath, would you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." So he stretched it out, and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other one. But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for this privilege that we have to work through your word. And as we work through Matthew, Lord, I just pray that you'll open our hearts and help us to receive the message that you have for us today. Amen. Okay, so we're going through Matthew up to chapter 12. And as we've just read, Jesus is causing the Pharisees some headaches, or some more headaches, because he won't abide by the Sabbath. I'm going to stop here and make something clear. We're going to be talking about what is lawful on the Sabbath, or what we should or shouldn't do. But me, and this is me speaking, not the church or the eldership, so any complaints you can email me, I don't believe keeping or not keeping the Sabbath will keep us out of heaven. We're called to follow Jesus, spread the word, and keep his Ten Commandments. We'll get into it, but we can say that not keeping the Sabbath is a sin. But the only sin that will keep us out of heaven is rejecting Christ and turning away from him. So let's just keep that in mind as we work through this passage. So the Sabbath, where did it start? Why do we have it? Why should we keep it? Let's start there, hey? So the start of the Sabbath, it was first mentioned in Genesis chapter 2. "Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing, and so on the seventh day he rested from all his work. God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done." So, who thinks God needed a rest? Who thinks God was tired? Does God get tired? He gets tired of us making the same mistakes over and over, but I don't think he needed to take a break from creation because he was tired. I think he took this rest and this rest period to enjoy his creation and to rest in it. Similarly, in us, I think we need rest, not because we are tired, but so we can enjoy the things and the people around us that has been provided for us. I'm sure we've all known someone who works 7 days a week to have a better life, but never gets to enjoy the spoils of their works. So if God made the Sabbath, then where did the law come into it? We first see in Exodus 16, collecting manna, where we were instructed to collect twice the manna on the sixth day, so we didn't have to collect it on the seventh day. But in Exodus 20, we're given the Ten Commandments. God was talking to Moses and spoke to him what we now know as the Ten Commandments. And in verse 8 to 11, we read, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall do no work, neither you nor your son or your daughter, your male, your female servants, nor your animals, foreigners residing in your town. For 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the seventh Sabbath day and made it holy. Now, I was reading my sermon a couple of times over the last few days, and it just picked up on me that even the animals get a break on the Sabbath day. I didn't pick that up, but that's cool. I find it interesting that in some or most of the commandments, they are straightforward. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal. But two or three of them, God explains them a little or a lot deeper. And certainly keeping the Sabbath is one of them. In this commandment, we are told to keep the Sabbath holy and do no work on it. And that seems clear enough. So what's the problem? The one problem is the word work. What constitutes work? I enjoy cleaning my car on a Sunday afternoon. Is that work? On a Sunday night, I ask my daughter to make sure she has a clean uniform for school the next day. Is that work? That's even after I've asked her to pack the dishwasher. In doing so, have I asked her to deny the Sabbath? It's the definition of the word work that has caused so much controversy over the Sabbath. In Exodus 35, we read, Moses assembled the whole Israelite community and said to them, "These are the things the Lord has commanded you to do. 6 days work is to be done, but the seventh day shall be your holy day, a day of Sabbath rest to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it is to be put to death. Do not light a fire in any of your dwellings on the Sabbath day." Put to death for lighting a fire, hey? And in Jeremiah, we read in 21, this is what the Lord says. Be careful, do not carry a load on the Sabbath day or bring it through the gates of Jerusalem. Do not bring a load out of your house or do any work on the Sabbath. Keep the Sabbath day holy, as I commanded your ancestors. So the law is trying to set out some clarification about what work was and what we cannot do on the Sabbath. There's a book called the Mishnah. This is a Jewish commentary. They've used it in addition to the scriptures to further explain what was said in the scriptures. Did anyone catch that? It's addition to the scriptures, which means it's not scripture. But in the Mishnah, we can read topics about work and what we can do. And it applies back then, and in Jewish law, it still applies. So, carrying, we're unable to carry anything in public. Burning, we're unable to light a fire. In modern times, that means we can't drive a car or use anything electrical. Writing, we can't write, type, print, or use a rubber stamp. Cooking, all forms of cooking is off, including my only possible way of cooking, boiling water. Washing, no washing, so no dishwasher for Annabelle. Ploughing, any work to improve the ground, so no gardening. Planting, we can drop one seed, we can't drop two. Two is sowing. Harvesting, we can't pick fruit up off the ground, for this is seen as harvesting. Travel, we can't travel more than 4,000 cubits, which is about 1 mile from your place of residency. Except if you were to place food preparations at the mile. That makes this your new place, and you can walk another mile from that mile. But are you allowed to carry the food prep materials or prep the food once you got there? So I think it's clear that we can get very bogged down in the Sabbath and the weeds of the word work. So coming back to the passage, we have the Pharisees making a big deal about what Jesus and the disciples are doing. And at this point, I don't think we can blame them. The law of the land says that Jesus and the disciples should be put to death for what they're doing. But like always, the Pharisees, they miss the point. Jesus gave them three examples. Have you not read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? They entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread. So this is a story back in 1 Samuel where David and his companions had run out of food. They were going hungry. They went into the priests and asked if they could eat the showbread of the temple. the holy bread. The next example Jesus gave says that if you haven't you read the law, the priests on the Sabbath, duty in the temple, desecrate the Sabbath and yet are innocent. So on Sundays, the priests and anyone working in the church are technically doing work, but they're called innocent. And lastly, if you had a sheep and it falls into a pit, who of you would not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? So here Jesus is showing the Pharisees that maybe the law went a bit too far. So if the Lord says keep the Sabbath holy, and the law says that we can't do any work on it, but Jesus is now saying that some things are okay, what does that mean for us today? Well, firstly, I think we have to remember that the Sabbath was made for the man and not the man for the Sabbath. In other words, the Sabbath is there to benefit us and not the other way around. And the purpose of the Sabbath was to rest and rest in God. But what if I have cotton to water? What if I have a house to build and Sunday is the only day of the week it didn't rain? What if I'm on call for the hospital and I have sick patients? I want to mention here a story from a book called Mover of Men and Mountains by R.G. Letourneau. R.G. Letourneau was a man in the early 1900s and he was made famous or successful for inventing and using earth-moving equipment. This book is an account of his life, and he ended up a very successful businessman giving millions of dollars to God. And if you haven't read it, it's well worth reading. But in this book, one chapter really tells the story of R.J. Letourneau being hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt, and that's hundreds and thousands of dollars in 1910 or 1920, and being forced to work 24/7, including Sundays, by the people he was indebted to ensure the debt is paid. And yes, he was working around the clock. So this didn't sit well with R.G. and he decided to down tools on Sunday. And he retells that this decision could have cost him his company, and it very nearly did. But through following God's plan or guidance and trusting in him, he was able to climb out of this debt and build a multi-million dollar company, and rarely, if ever, worked on a Sunday after that. On a side note, in 1953, R.G. sold most of his company for $31 million. In today's money, that's about $300 million. If you measure success by money, don't tell me you have to work Sundays to be successful. And at this time, he was keeping 10% of his income, and he was tithing 90% to God. One other example I'd like to mention is a bit more personal about the Sabbath. When I entered med school, the big fear that I had was stress of exams. Now, for anyone who's not gone to uni and had the stress of an exam over your head, you're very lucky. But when I'd started med school, I'd already had 4.5 years of uni under my belt. I knew what I was getting into. But from the first day of the course to the last day of the course, 4 years later, there was one thing hanging over you: exams and assessments. And the way to lessen that fear? Study. And when you finish studying, study some more. So if you went to the shops for an hour or two, you should have been studying. If you had to mow the lawn, you should have been studying. And if you're studying for one subject, well, you probably should have been studying for a different subject. But in the second or third year, I realised that study wasn't the full answer. Study 6 days a week was. I would work and study Monday to Saturday, but on most Sundays, and I have to say most, not all, I decided to not study. I would go to church, spend some time with my family, and I would rest. Now, I can't say that my marks improved. I can't say that study was easier. But what I can say is that I could fully rest on those Sundays. Rest in the peace that God was in control. And by following God's plan, he lessened that stress overhanging my head, and I was in a better place for it. So to bring this all together, if you think I'm going to tell you how to spend your Sabbath, I'm not. But from the passage, we can see that Jesus has highlighted that it is okay to feed ourselves, work or volunteer at church, help someone out. I think it's also okay to do necessary tasks, but working out what is necessary and what is optional, I think, is the hard bit. We need to remember that we don't worship the law and we don't worship the Sabbath. We worship the living Christ, the Lord of everything, including the Sabbath. So to close, I thought I would list out a few reasons why we should keep the Sabbath and a few reasons why we shouldn't. Why should we? Number one, God told us to. None of the other Ten Commandments are seen to be optional. We strive to keep the Ten Commandments even though we all fall short, but these are God's instructions for our lives and we should try to follow them every day. I think keeping the Sabbath highlights the importance of God in our lives. I believe it says a lot when we set a day aside for God. It shows us, ourselves, and others around us where on our priority list God sits. Along the same lines of that, I believe it forms part of our reverence towards God. I think in the 70s and 80s and early 90s, the main preaching style was hellfire and brimstone. In the late 90s and the 2000s, the love of God and come as you are topics took centre stage. I don't think this is a bad thing, but I think the reverence for God was lost along the way. Wear your Sunday best was replaced by he accepts me the way I am, which I believe is only partly true. But I think keeping the Sabbath goes a long way to rebuilding some of that reverence. And lastly, I think we need to observe the Sabbath in some form or another for rest. We're not made for work and then dying. We heard last week in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all who labour and all who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. God gave us interests and hobbies and a huge, awesome earth to enjoy. And who here doesn't feel refreshed after a Sunday lunch with friends and then a Sunday afternoon nana nap? So, on to the reasons that we shouldn't observe the Sabbath. Yep. I couldn't find any. So I hope in all of that I haven't confused anyone, but I want to close by reading Colossians 2:16. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regards to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for all your provisions. Thank you for everything you've provided for us, including the Sabbath. I just pray that you'll help us to keep this day aside, set it aside for you, for rest and for glory in you, Lord. Amen.